Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Welcome to Hard Currency, the podcast from the Financial Times on the foreign exchange market. I'm Roger Blitz, and this week has been dominated by the Federal Reserve raising interest rates for the third time this year, promising another in December and three more next year. A pretty stellar rates path, so why did the market shrug its shoulders? Mario Draghi talked up wages growth and inflation as a result, that lifted the euro. But is the market ready to get behind a euro rally? And China showed signs of digging in on the trade dispute by cutting tariffs on imports. Then trade talks got cancelled, while Donald Trump went so far as to accuse China of meddling in the midterm elections. So how will all that affect the renminbi and emerging market currencies? Well, we are joined this week by Jeremy Thompson Cook, the economist and head of currency at the online payments provider World First. Jeremy, let's take those one by one. Yeah. The Fed, very, very steady as she goes, the market thought.
You stole my line, steady as she goes. This was probably the rate hike of 2018 that had the least amount of risk around it. Yeah. You'd have to say. I mean, everything has been fairly well priced in before we actually got to the fact. But yesterday's rate hike was the kind of hike where it was more, you know, it was almost 100% that it was going to happen. So there was no real issue around that. There was no real change in the economic projections from the Federal Reserve. It was a very data dependent. We know exactly what we're doing. It's going to be gradual. We're breathing these rate hikes into the market eventually, and it will come through and just give us the time to work out how this works.
I mean, hats off to the Fed, a model for central bank transparency?
I think so. And I'd like to think that if you, as I do, believe that central banking is as much about communication as it is about policy, then the communication of the future policy has been communicated very, very well to markets and very, very well to investors to make sure that there are no surprises at the moment. So there's enough around us at the moment from a political standpoint to give us a surprise.
Yes.
And so central banking at the moment is sat there saying, this is exactly what we're going to do. You can see instances of it from the European Central Bank, for example, talking about holding off until summer of next year, just saying, this is our expectations, all things being equal. And this is how we're going to move as a result. So don't worry about us.
Last time the Fed spoke, they started to worry a little bit about the long-term future. They worried about that thing, the yield curve inversion, which is a signal, tends to be a signal for recessions. And that started to actually weigh on a bit on the dollar, really, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit on the dollar and a little bit of dovish expectations coming into the dot plot. Yesterday, maybe a little bit of expectations around the unemployment rate rising into 2021. The median dots may expect to move a little bit lower. Mm. Come the December meeting, I think there's a risk that if we see one dot move in that, it moves from 3.1 down to about 2.8. So in the grand scheme of things, that could prove a little bit of dovishness around the.
But do you think the Fed has wants the market to buy into this idea that actually, when this cycle ends, it will be a soft landing? That when we have a slowdown in growth, it will be moderate. Effectively, giving the market a clear picture of 2019, not being full of worries that don't really exist.
Yes, and I think this press conference and the resulting market reaction was of a belief that there's optimism out there that things are going to continue to go well, but not at this overdrive level that we find ourselves in at kind of 4%, 4.2% annualized GDP at the moment, that a gentle slackening of that is nothing to be afraid of, and eventually we will glide into a path where the Federal Reserve can pause this rate hike cycle, and all things being equal, things will just calm down.
Well, I mean, that begs the question where, therefore, the dollar's going to go. But before we tackle that, we need to look at the European side of this. The Mario Draghi comment, he's a very cautious man. He's thought to be as dovish as they come. On the other hand, that was a pretty bullish view he expressed on Monday about this is about inflation optimism. Wages are picking up. The jobs tightening position is clear. So,
what was it?
well, I mean, is he signalling something?
I think it was a trial balloon.
A trial balloon?
Yeah.
Okay. I think putting it out there.
Putting it out there and just seeing exactly what the market reaction to that was. And obviously within 24 hours, we had Peter Pryke come back and not row it
Peter
back.
Pryke, the senior economist at ECB.
Come back and just say that this was, you know, a reiteration of what had been said before. Yeah. It's nothing to really get behind. And the euro gave up the weight that it had taken on as a result of the Draghi comment pretty much instantaneously. So as far as not a shot across the bow, because it's not as antagonistic as that, but just seeing where expectations truly lie about how, you know, the market's looking for more European inflation to be created. And if that does happen, then I would expect that the communications of the ECB that interest rates are not going to rise until the very earliest, the end of summer next year, haven't been ingrained well enough yet
in the market
psychology. Yes.
And that's a constant thing, because we obviously on Thursday we had, you know, it worries about the Italian budget that sold off the euro, but that's a kind of a fluid, you know, up and downer.
Whereas, yeah, and we're always going to have budgets. Yeah. We're always going to have political infighting. I mean, maybe it occurs more in Italy than it does maybe in Berlin, for example, but you know, we'll wait and see how that metastasizes over the course of the next couple
right,
of weeks.
Right, so to the question of the dollar, therefore, there we have two things. You know, the Fed very clearly signalling something, the market's very used to it. On the European side, perhaps the market not quite buying into the whole market picture. Does this point towards a leaning to on the euro side of the euro-dollar equation, or is it going to be a bit spotty and tricky?
Yeah, I think we trade over the course of the next 12 months a range of about 115 to 120 in euro-dollar. I can ease.
Well, actually, that's pretty much where we've been this year, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there are certain things that have been overpriced. Italy, for example, I don't think that represents too much of a risk.
No.
You know, we're only a couple of hours away from a budget meeting, and that may all blow up. And but in the grand scheme of things, I think the Italian issues are put to bed pretty easily.
So, but you're basically saying euro dollar. You know, it's you wouldn't want to bet your house on a big euro.
No, I wouldn't be buying euro dollar vol, for example, at the moment. It's not the kind of cross which I expect to get particularly whippy. There are, you know, euro has been used as a bit of a safe haven from the trade concerns. The one caveat that I do have is that euro, I think, is the currency where if we start to talk about trade war versus currency war, then the euro could be the currency that people start to bet on as a result.
Okay, it's interesting you say trade war and that kind of one thing balancing out another. It seems to be very much how it is with China. Yeah. Do you agree? I mean, it's here we have what could have been a lot of bad headlines on the trade tensions, but it feels like that the market not terribly overreacting to it. It's another example of actually strong signalling, if you like, this time from the People's Bank of China, which is drowning out a lot of the political noise.
It is drowning out a lot of the noise. I think that the fact that we haven't seen a material pickup in outflows from China is the major signal that I think a lot of people are watching around the Chinese economy. Certainly for us, we're looking at CNH, CNY, the offshore-onshore spread, and whether we start to see that really shift in focus of money coming out of the country, and the PBOC therefore having to move the fix around to make sure that spread doesn't become such a shift, then that would be the kind of thing which suggests that the PBOC is worried about things moving out of the Chinese economy and into the wider world. We're also coming towards the end of the year, and Chinese citizens' ability to move money out of the country is on $10,000 a year. That will be replenished, as it were, come the end of January, beginning of February. So people may have moved their money out of the country already over the course of this year. So if we do see post the midterms, that 25% tariff hit, you know, on Chinese exports into the United States, the Chinese New Year and the ability for more Chinese citizens to move money out of the country just by dint of their yearly allowance, that's when it could get really spicy for the yuan.
Okay, but until then, I have in mind a picture of there's China standing in front of a raging storm, the storm obviously being trade tensions, and standing behind the cloak of China are all these emerging market currencies. Are they still vulnerable, do you think? Or do you think they too can look forward to a little bit more
maybe
calm?
A little bit more calm. There's some ones which we are more worried about than others. The Korean won, the Taiwanese dollar, for example, would be two that we think as a result of being lower down the supply chain and into China and then on to developed markets may be the ones that investors focus in the short term should the trade concerns pick up. But in the grander scheme of things, wider EM, unless you're looking at particular issues like Turkey or South Africa or Argentina, then we think Q4 will be fairly quiet.
Okay. One quick final line, Jeremy, on Brexit and sterling. Dare I say the market is treating all this with a certain amount of, wake us up when there's something to tell us.
Yes. Headline risk will always be headline risk, and we will always look positively on a good headline and negatively on a bad headline. But Conservative Party conference will have as much of one as they do the other.
Yeah.
But until we have a deal,
yes,
then you can't really have, too much of a constructive outlook on sterling. Everyone's turning themselves inside out, trying to predict what's going to happen, and the pound's caught in the middle.
My thanks to Jeremy Thompson-Cook of World First. That's it from Hard Currency. Thank you for listening. It's goodbye.